And I wasn't entirely happy with how I presented it last week. Now, there are some things I was like, oh, dang, that's pretty good, man. Just leave that right there. But there were some things I thought I needed to go a little further and explain a little better. So we're going to kind of piggyback on what we talked about last week, trusting in God. But I wanted to clarify a couple things. So if I was going to call this anything this morning, I'd say, what do I do when I don't believe it? And I just really feel like I think that that's where a lot of folks are at, and a lot of people are faking it till they make it. And they've been faking it for years. And so I wanted to talk this morning about what to do when you don't believe it or when you don't have any trust, and you think you do, but you really don't. Let's go over to Mark chapter 11 this morning. Mark chapter 11 is a very famous faith scripture. Those of you who have ever heard the faith message before have probably heard this scripture a million times. But I want to start in verse 22. And if you're not familiar with this scripture, I want to set it up for you. Jesus is on his way to a wedding. I believe it's a wedding. It's early this morning, and I didn't get home till 2:30 last night. And he stops, and they go to get a. He goes to pick a fig off of a tree, and when he goes to pick the fig off, there's no figs there, and he's hungry. And so, as he looks at it, because it should be there, it's the Bible says it's the season for it. And he looks at, there's no figs, and he goes, okay, well, nobody's ever going to eat figs from you again. And then turns around and walks off. And then goes and he clears the temple. This is where he flips the tables over and whips people with, you know, leather straps and calls them, you've turned my house into a den of thieves. Y'all know this part of the story. If you've seen any Jesus movie, you've seen that part. And I think it's really funny that it happened right after he was hungry and he didn't get any figs, so it would have been it's a perfect Snickers bar commercial, right? It's like somebody give Jesus a Snickers bar because he flipped the tables over and really cleans them all up. And as they're coming back from that, the next day, after his Snickers bar moment, they notice that the fig tree that he spoke to is dead, dried up from the roots. And they're all like, look, the fig tree you spoke to is dead. And this is where we're going to pick up the story here in verse number 22 of Mark chapter 11. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Now this is the part I want to talk about today. And does not doubt in his heart. Now I want you to notice those three words, in his heart. But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, now this is another one right here, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So this morning I want to talk about this because to me, and now if you're not familiar with this kind of theology, this is called Word of Faith theology. This is where people have speak to their problems, speak to their mountain. What are they speaking? Just affirmation. I'm good enough and I'm positive, you know, doggone it, people like me. And it's not just that they're speaking that. They're speaking God's words to their problem, and then the problems leave. This is Word of Faith theology. Now, if you think that that doesn't exist, then you need to take it up with God, because Jesus just broke that down for us right there in that scripture, that this is what we're supposed to do when we have a problem. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do anything else. There are certainly steps that we're supposed to take. A lot of people are sitting around just talking, saying things, and not doing any corresponding actions. This is not a substitute for hard work. Come on, I talked about that a few weeks ago. This is not a substitute for common sense. You know, you're not going to be able to go and pick out the scripture about the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace and say, well, I'm going to go put my hand on a hot stove and it's not going to burn me. No, you're an idiot. That's not what this is for. This is not just some crazy, you know, harebrained. This is for people who see a mountain, acknowledge a mountain, and are tired of dealing with the mountain on their own. Jesus gave us a way that his power can work through us and through the words that come out of our mouth. And so I've seen a lot of people in Word of Faith theology speaking and speaking and speaking, and 30 years later they're still speaking and nothing's happening. And that's what I want to talk about today, is what do I do when I don't evidently really believe it? And the first thing I would say to you this morning is you need to identify where you are. If you don't believe it, don't speak it. Because really you're just wasting your time. Now a lot of people will tell you, why don't you just go ahead and keep speaking and, you know, fake it till you make it. It's just, you're going to set yourself up being frustrated. You're going to set yourself up to be, you know, let down. Because speaking to the mountain only works, come on, if you believe it. And so that's what we're going to talk about today, all right? This word here in verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. This word faith means to have a firm persuasion. A firm persuasion. Now, if we skip on down and we read those words, whoever says this mountain be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. That word believe means to have confidence, trust. Now, I'm going to say something now. This may bother Word of Faith people, but because we're not supposed to go by feelings. But this word believe means confidence, trust, a state of security, or a feeling of assurance. Now, that just really, a lot of people are afraid when you start talking about believing, you don't ever go by what you feel. But really, faith will produce a feeling of assurance. Okay? So faith is not just knowing what God's word says. It is an action that will produce results in your life. Okay? It's like this. Some people, we have people sitting amongst us that have been graduates from Rhema, which is, you know, Kenneth Hagin School, where they teach faith almost at a baby feeding level. Like you feel like you're in a high chair with a bib around your neck and they're just feeding you Word of Faith theology. 2 years. We have people in here that are followers of Kenneth Copeland. And then, of course, if you know anything about Brother Copeland's ministry, it is the same kind of thing. Word of Faith theology, preaching, preaching, preaching. And so, and there's a lot of folks that have been exposed to this kind of theology. And they think that because they've been, now I'm not saying anybody in particular, I'm just as generalized now. People think that if they've been exposed to that teaching and they know that that teaching is true, that that's good enough. Okay, now listen to me. Faith is not just knowing what God's word says. It is an action that actually produces in your life. So now here's the thing. If you're doing the Word of Faith thing and it's not producing, what does that mean? If you're making the right confession, you're saying the right things, you believe that that's supposed to work, but it's not, what does that mean? Now some people will give you the flimsiest excuse in the world. It's just not God's timing, I guess. Now, I'm just going to tell you right now, if you've been using that excuse for 30 years, you're wrong. If you've been using that excuse for a while, you're wrong. God's timing has nothing to do with it. The timing for God's blessings is right now. He wants you to have the blessings now. He wants you to walk in the benefit now. If you don't have it walking in your life, and I'm talking to myself just as much as anybody today, it's because you're not ready for it. Come on, don't get quiet. Nobody will know I'm talking to you. You can go ahead and put your rocks down. Don't get mad at me. I have to come to this realization myself. This is for me too. If you're making the confession, speaking to your mountain, and that mountain is still there, it ain't got nothing to do with God's timing. It has everything to do with whether you believe it in your heart or not. Tell me you love me. Love you, Pastor. So faith is not knowing, just not knowing what God's word says. It's an action that is producing a result in your life. And it's not just producing the results of what you're speaking, like, oh, I need this sickness to disappear. It does produce that, but it's not just that. It also, faith is also going to produce feelings in your heart that your head cannot comprehend. So faith or believing will produce the result that you want. I hope that you're getting this morning. It'll produce the result that you want, but it'll also produce a feeling in your heart that your head can't comprehend. Here's where a lot of people miss it. They think that if their head thinks it, that's what I'm supposed to go with. If my head thinks it, well, that's what I'm supposed to go with. But if you're really in faith, your heart can believe something that your head absolutely is shaking its head at, no way. Right? Many people are ready to make confessions, but if you're not believing first before you make that confession's not going to work. And then we look like idiots. Anybody ever been around somebody that's saying positive things and there's no fruit there and they look weird and you kind of go, mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. When you start speaking things out in faith, it does take time for God's power to go into effect. Sometimes there may be an instantaneous manifestation, but sometimes it might be like the fig tree and not show up till the next day. So you can't go by what you see. That's why Paul says we walk by, come on, faith and not by sight. So I'm not going to just look at the mountain and just because it's still sitting there, I go, well, I guess it's not working. What I have to go and check myself on is if it's still sitting there years down the road. Come on now. All right. Confessions based on the word are certainly better than making a bad confession if you don't believe it and you're still speaking the word. Sure, that's better. But at the same time, if you haven't made the heart choice to really believe it, you're just going to be frustrated. All right? So you have to identify where you are. Do you really believe what God's word says? Do you? Okay. Believing or having faith has to be done before you can speak to your mountain. Now, here's the next thing I want to say to you. What you say on a daily basis in your daily life right now without having to muster it up is what you really believe. Now, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 says this, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil?" Now, listen to what these next words are that Jesus says. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Now, this is the kind of speaking Jesus is talking about when he says, speak to the mountain and tell it to be removed. It has to come, listen to me now, from an abundance in your heart. and not just what you think. It can't just come from what you think. All right? This is speaking rooted inside your heart. Now, I want you to just think about it for a second. When you're facing the unknown in any situation, whether it be with people, whether it be with your job, whether it be laying in bed at night and you hear a noise. I mean, anytime you face the unknown and your mouth starts flapping, that's what you have a confident persuasion about. Or we could say it this way, that's what you're in faith about. Let me give you an example. You ever been mad at somebody? I'm going to look at the floor. You ever been mad at somebody? And you just said all kinds of terrible things without even having to think about it? You know what that was? That was your mouth speaking what you believe. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times, what we say about another person may not be true. But when you speak it out, it changes you and your perception that that's what they become in your eyes. You ever been sad about something? And then you just let your mouth just start flying? It's never going to get any better. And you didn't have to think about that. You didn't have to muster that up. You didn't have to go, I need to make the right confession here. It just flowed right out of you like somebody turning a cup upside down with water in it. See, that's what you really believe. You really believe it's not going to get any better, so your mouth just now is saying what you believe. Here's the problem. We think that's okay because, well, I mean, that's what everything's telling me. That's what my own experiences have told me. When I've been in a situation like this before, that's what the same thing that I just said happened. So I'm not stupid. I can put two and two together. It's going to just happen. No mustering, no trying, no monitoring. You're just allowing it to flow out of you what you believe. And then what happens? It doesn't get any better. When you're afraid, how many of you got woken up a few weeks ago when SpaceX launched in the middle of the night? Nobody? We heard the sonic boom at my house in Davenport. And Jody and I both jumped up out of bed looking at each other like something just hit our house. In fact, I said, somebody drunk driving probably just hit the other side of our house. Just whoosh, came right out of my mouth. Didn't have time to formulate that plan in my mind. Nothing. That just came flowing right out of my mouth because I live right on a street. Like I'm on a corner lot and the street goes right by my house. I'm laying there dead asleep. I hear boom, window shake, house shakes, everything shakes. I can't believe the rest of y'all must have just incredibly great insulated houses. Because I heard it and thought somebody had just run into, I mean, I came up off the bed. Oh my God, we just got hit by a drunk driver at our house. It was the unknown. And I'm just going to tell you something. When I jumped up and said that, I immediately, as I'm walking to the other side, I'm acting like that is what happened. And I'm fully prepared. Me. Now, that we all know now it was the rockets re-entering the atmosphere. But as far as changing me, listen to me now, it changed me to be in that situation. I was already having a dreadful, oh my God, I got to call my landlord. Oh my gosh, we're going to not be able to live in the house for a while. I had this whole thing formulated in seconds. And I started acting like that's what's going to happen. I'm going to have to stay in a hotel till they get this thing fixed. And I mean, I'm having this fearful, dreadful reaction. Because I had somewhere in the abundance of my heart a fear of that happening. See, that's what you, those are the kind of things that you really believe when they just flow out of you. That is what faith is. But now catch this. Unfortunately, it's faith in the wrong thing. See, when Jesus spoke that out in verse 22, he said, he qualified the whole thing. Have faith in God. Why? Because you can have faith in something else. And if you have faith in something else and you speak to the mountain what that thing says, you may be making the mountain stronger. Come on, catch that, somebody, please. When you have faith in something else besides what God says and you speak that out, you may be making the mountain stronger. This is faith. And unfortunately, it's faith in the wrong thing. So, if you don't really believe, what do you do? Am I hopeless now? Am I just going to sit here and just let the mountain sit there? No. I have to, watch this, change what I am firmly persuaded to be. I have to change what I have a feeling of assurance in. I have to change what I'm confident about. If I don't have a feeling of assurance based on the Bible, I have to change that. Now listen to me, this is why, and look at me, watch this, this is why the world is full of miserable, mean, scared, paranoid, I'll take it a step further, poor, come on, broke, unfortunate people. I'm going to just, it has very little to do with what somebody does to you. And a lot more to do with what you believe God's going to do for you. Amen. That doesn't mean people aren't victims of other people. When people do something bad to somebody, I don't have to trust in myself alone to respond back to that. Come on, I can put my faith in what God's going to do about that. Okay? Unfortunately, so many people don't put their faith in what God's going to do for them. They think that it all rests on them. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of it does. We do have to work hard. Come on. But we don't do all the work. Oh, come on, somebody. That's good right there. We do have to work hard, but we don't do all of it. And those of you who are trying to do it all, you need to relax. You go ahead and work, get your hard work in, and then when you're exhausted and tired, you need to stop because you're getting ready to run yourself into the ground. That's when you stop and you go, I have to believe God's going to do the rest. All right? If I don't have that state of security, I'm just like people in the world. I become awful. I treat other people just like they treat me. People are mean to me. I'm justified, come on, in being mean back. And I'm pretty sure the Bible tells us not to do that. Come on. I mean, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. But if I don't believe that, I don't have a firm persuasion in that. Come on now. If I don't If I'm not confident in that, somebody hits me on the cheek, they're getting one right back. And if it's not a physical one, I'm going to lob insults at them and make them feel bad. They're getting some kind of struck back. See, I don't have a firm persuasion that what Jesus said matters. So I'm not going to live my life that way. And then I'll tell everybody that I'm justified in my actions. If you're a Christian, you're not. I'm not going to be one of those miserable, afraid, paranoid, mean, awful people, because I'm going to change what I believe. Now, you can sit there right now and go, well, that's great, Pastor. You go ahead and be a sucker that way. But we all know how the real world operates, and nice people finish last. And I'm pretty sure the Bible says, come on now, the last shall be first. Come on, and the first shall be last. And so if I'm confident about it, you go ahead and run, you know, be dirty and mean and do all the things you want to do. And when it's all said and done, I'll be sitting in front of you. You know why? I'm going to base my life on what God said. Come on, not what somebody else is telling me. So, what do I do? If I'm not there, Pastor, what do I do? The first thing is, you got to admit that. Now, faith people are the worst at this. They do not want to admit that they've ever done anything wrong or they're doing something wrong right now. Because, well, that's a negative confession. You're glorifying the problem if you do that. You're just making it bigger. Not according to what Jesus did in the New Testament. There's a story, we're going to go over there, Mark chapter 9. Jesus is out, and he's healing people and doing his thing. And he comes up to this guy and lays hands on him and prays for him. And he says, if you can believe all things. Now, if you have your Bible, paper Bible, you should circle those words. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. All things are possible to him who believes. Now again, this word believe is a confident, firm feeling of assurance. Okay, so if you can have a firm, confidence, feeling of assurance, all things are possible to him who has a confident, feeling of assurance. Now I want you to catch this. Look at this. Immediately, he's praying for this man's child. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but, that's what that semicolon is. Help, come on now, my unbelief. If he's going any further, he has to confess first, I don't believe this. And there's a lot of people that say, if I'm going to be in faith, I can't be this guy. But in order to get to the next step, he has to go here and admit it. I don't believe it. I have a shortage of faith right now. Help, come on, my unbelief. Now, Jesus doesn't go, it's okay, I'll meet you where you are, and leave him in his unbelief. Jesus does something about his unbelief. Now, if you don't believe God's word is the most powerful force in the universe, and that's what you need to govern every area of your life by, then you need to say this to him. You need to confess to him, Lord, I have areas in my life that I do not believe like I need to believe. Because if you're not willing to look at that, this is a mountain that will stay hidden in your life forever. What is he saying by help my unbelief? He's saying, I have a mountain in my life right now. So if you got an area in your life that you don't believe, if there's something in the Word that you don't believe, or maybe you don't know, you have to confess that you don't believe. Every confession that comes to pass is full of belief. Every confession that we make is full of belief, whether negatively or positively. Every confession will always bring a result. So if you say to the Lord, "Lord, I don't believe that," that is a confession where you're acknowledging a mountain. Now, here's the great part about it. We're not left here with no hope. It's not like, well, stick with it. You'll get it eventually. What does that do to you when you hear those words? How long? Oh, man. This is going to take forever. When I confess that I don't believe, that's called repentance. I'm telling the Lord, this is where I'm missing it. Okay? So now I'm now in a place where I can start to change what I believe. And I'm just going to tell you, that does not come with just flipping a switch. A lot of people will tell you just as easy as just like that. And most of the time when you have those kind of moments, it's because you've been doing what I'm getting ready to talk about. And that just pushed you over the edge. All right? You must, if you don't believe it, you then have to submerge yourself completely in what God has to say about the situation. You cannot just, okay, well, my pastor said it, I think he said it one time, like when I was listening to him preach, and he kind of said this, so I'm going to believe that. It doesn't work that way. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and look in verse 17. So then faith comes from hearing, and hearing. Now, Brother Hagin used to say, and if you don't know who I'm talking about, Kenneth Hagin, Google him if you want to, he's the father of the faith message. Hearing and hearing. He said we could just keep putting "and hearing" here for eternity. Because faith doesn't come from, watch this, having heard. Oh, yeah, I heard Brother Copeland preach about that in the 70s. So? Well, I heard my pastor I grew up with preach about that one time when I was like 12. So? Faith, or having a feeling of assurance. I love that that's what that means. A confidence. A trust. So then a feeling of assurance comes from hearing and hearing. Come on, and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing for eternity. The Word of God. All right, married people. What happens if you don't tell your spouse you love them for a couple days? What happens? They start going, what's wrong? No, I'm just... If you're busy, you're out of town, maybe you're not, what happens? What happens, okay, for other folks, what if you don't go an hour and they don't receive that text message from you? Start a new routine, married people, and watch what happens to the other one. I'm serious. Go get a new job somewhere and watch what happens. They'll, is everything okay? Have you adjusted? I mean, because they're used to things being a certain way and hearing, I love you, honey bunny, all the time. And come on, they're used to hearing it. What happens if they stop hearing it? They start doubting. And the longer you go without hearing it, the bigger the doubt becomes, to the point where they doubt that you love them and they actually start believing you don't love them anymore. What happens? They stop hearing that you love them, so something else starts telling them they don't love you anymore. And until they hear the contrary, please catch this, until they hear the contrary, their own experiences, come on, their own filters, God, that's a big one in people's lives today, their own filters of the situation, everything starts telling them they don't love you. They probably got a girlfriend. It's probably a girl at work that he's working with. Come on. You have to submerge yourself in what God has to say and stay there. And just because you know it, you heard it once, doesn't mean your faith is strong right now. Now I want to read this scripture backwards. And you go, how are you going to do that? Like this? No, I'm just kidding. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to read it backwards, but instead of faith, we're going to put all those words in there, okay? Listen to it this way. Hearing the word of God continually will produce a firm persuasion, a confidence, a trust, a state of security, and a feeling of assurance that is based on God's word. How much easier can you get than that? It is a hearing that has to happen continually. Now let me say this. Listen, the more specific that you find the scripture, the more specific your faith will get. Now you turn on TV right now, they'll tell you that the United States, the majority is a Christian nation. Now, does it mean everybody? No. Are there other religions? Sure. But you go around and talk to most people, most, have had some kind of experience in Sunday school, whether they were Catholic or Protestant. It doesn't matter. Most Americans have been there. And most of them have a general faith about God. Are there people that question? Sure. Are there Christians that question? Absolutely. I'm not acknowledging the doubters out there. They are there. But I'm talking about people, for the generalized people that call themselves Christians have a generalized faith about God. And it doesn't matter what their behavior is. If you ask them, are you a Christian? They say, absolutely, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and I'm going to heaven when I die. And you can't talk them out of it. You know why? Because they read the word generally. Okay, I'm just going to be honest with you. Our Bible reading that we're doing every month, which you're all still doing, right? Even though we're in Numbers, one of the most boring books in the Bible. Even though we're there, I started that so that we would all have a generalized faith. Our faith becomes generally stronger when you generally read the Bible. But if I need to have specific faith, general Bible reading doesn't get that done. I can't just be reading the Bible as a whole and get specific, strong faith when it comes to specific things I'm facing. If I have sickness, just studying about the census of Israel isn't really going to help me. It will in a general sense, but it's not going to specifically focus my faith down on that. If I have financial things, you know, just reading about creation isn't going to really specifically, come on, Noah's Ark is not... Samson, I mean, they are good, and there are nuggets in all of them, but if I want to have specific, strong faith, I have to submerge myself in the specific areas that the Bible talks about that. I got to go deep in those things, and I have to stay there. So what are you believing for? Do you even know God wants you to have those things? Do you even realize that those things are specifically written to you? Because if you don't, something else is telling you what to believe about those things. This is why most general Christians have a problem when you start saying God's will is for you to be healed. They go, I don't know about that. How do you know? Well, because I specifically submerged myself, come on, in that part of the Bible and found out for myself. You know, when I say God wants you to be blessed and rich, that's materialistic. I don't know about that. It's because I've submerged myself. Well, yeah, you pulled something out of context just for your specific needs. No, I pulled something out that was full of, from the general thing to meet a specific need for me right now. Okay? In order to have a firm persuasion, a confidence, a trust, a state of security, or a feeling of assurance in healing or prosperity or peace or mental health, come on, or peace in the world or whatever, protection, I have to submerge myself in the scriptures that talk about that. It won't just come from knowing that it's in there or from hearing it preached a handful of times. And here's why. How many of you realize you're leaking? Now don't get up and look at your chair because I'm not talking about Depends leaking. You're leaking. The things that God puts in you, they leak out all the time. Even if you don't have a trial that you're facing, the things that you learned about the specific your faith got built, things, if you don't use it and you don't keep it sharp, it'll leak out and it'll be gone. If it is leaking out, listen to me now. If you're not keeping that part full, something else is filling you. Turn on the TV and watch the news. If you're not careful, the news will start feeding your faith. Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. Yes. If you, listen to me, Fox News people, CNN people, if you're not careful, they'll be building your faith and not God's word. MSNBC people, same goes for you. People that don't watch the news and just watch TV in general. If you're not careful, come on. The Walking Dead will be building your faith. If you're not careful, the soap operas will be building, come on, your faith. If you're not careful, Alex Trebek and Jeopardy, come on now, will be building your faith. The coaches on The Voice will be building your and then you'll accept those weird things that some whacked out singer with weird worldviews says, and you'll go, yeah, we all used to be hippopotamuses in another life. Peace and love, man. And the next thing you know, you're walking around spouting off crazy stuff. Why? Because somebody else filled the leak. And then you're justified by it. Let's go down home. I was raised to, you work your hind end off. And my grandfather was that guy. My grandfather worked his fingers literally to the bone. I mean, the dude never had an ounce of fat on him because he was always sweating through his clothes. He worked his hind end off. You know what I mean by that, right? We would say butt in the world. He worked his butt off. Literally. And the thing is he was taught that because he lived through the Depression. And his faith in prosperity was firmly based on him and his hands and the blocks that he laid. Come on. And it was only later in his life that he realized that God blesses the works of your hand for it to be more efficient and you can be wealthier, because God will give you favor with people that are going to buy the house that you bought, that you built, or the building that you built for commercial use or whatever. It took him years to get that. And see, there's a lot of people whose own experiences and own core belief system is firmly in place. We call them filters. We call them all kinds of things. And you'll live your life that way because that has filled the leak. But if you'll fill that leak with what God's word says on a continuing basis, if you'll submerge yourself in there, the firm persuasion will rise up. The feeling of assurance will rise up. And it will close with this. Hebrews chapter 11, this is not on the list for you guys. Hebrews chapter 11 says, without that feeling of assurance, without, verse number 6, without trust, without confidence, without a firm persuasion, it's impossible to please God. But if I have, come on somebody, a feeling of assurance, I am pleasing, come on, God, and he is happy with me, and he, when he's happy with me, his blessings pour out on me, hallelujah, and I can walk in them, and I can experience them, and I can have them right now. And then you go, well, it's not fair to the people down the street that are that way. That's why you're supposed to be a light in the world and go, come on somebody, and go witness to them. It isn't because you have, I'm going to throw words controversial around. It's not because you have privilege. It's because you have, come on somebody, faith in God. And I'm now going to go show that to somebody else. And I'm going to teach them how to, come on somebody, please, how to have faith so they can have that. Come on. Feeling of assurance, because God's more, that's his name, more than enough. He's more than enough for me, more than enough for you, more than enough for 7 billion of us on this planet right now. He has more than enough to bless us all, but it all can come through him, and I got to believe it. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I got to believe it.